Today, January 14th, 2015, marks the release of what is already the top-selling comic book of the last two decades. And all across the U.S., fans are running out to comic shops to pick up the new issue published by Marvel Comics. The comic in question is Star Wars No. 1, an ongoing series with new stories of Luke, Leia, and Han set in the Star Wars universe. Over 1 million copies of the book were pre-ordered, so you should be able to get your hands on one pretty easily. Star Wars comics are not a new thing, nor are they new to the Marvel publishing umbrella. Marvel had a long-running comic series that took place around the events of the original trilogy. For the past 20 years, however, the publishing rights to Star Wars were licensed to Dark Horse Comics, and they focused more on the expanded Star Wars universe rather than the main movie characters. When Disney purchased Lucasfilm, as well as Marvel Comics, it was not difficult to predict a return of Star Wars to its home of a long, long time ago. On the date of its release, the worst comic podcast ever were at Elite Comics in Overland Park, Kansas. And we got a chance to talk to Jason Aaron, Kansas Cityan, and the author of Star Wars No. 1, about the book that is already breaking records. All right, Jason, first of all, thanks a lot for agreeing to talk to us here at the Worst Comic Podcast Ever. How excited are you about the release of Star Wars 1 and the buzz it's received from fans?
Well, you know, about as excited as you would expect, right? I mean, it's not every week you get to do Star Wars No. 1.
Right.
I've been trying to enjoy every bit of it along the way, you know, from when I first got the phone call by Axel asking me if I wanted to write Star Wars about a year ago to when we first had meetings with Lucasfilm. We did tour of the Skywalker Ranch and all that kind of stuff, and to when I first sat down to write the script and got to write dialogue for Luke and Han and all those characters for the first time. So it all kind of culminates today with the issue actually out for people to pick it up and read for themselves.
That's incredible. And, of course, you get to do all those things. Writing Thor, you probably don't get to visit Asgard. So,
well, you don't know. You don't know.
I don't know. That's
yeah,
why,
you don't
yeah,
know what I do
asking,
and don't do.
The traffic on the Rainbow Bridge right. Is a bear at certain times, I'm sure.
Certainly I didn't get to go to something like at the Skywalker Ranch where we got to tour the archives and see lightsabers and that sort of stuff. That was really mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's got to be a fanboy's dream to be able to go do that. So.
Yeah, we were all just geeking out. I'm not sure it was productive in any sense of actually helping us to do our jobs. It was just us having fun, I think.
Yeah. Now, I was 7 when the original Star Wars came out, and I remember just sitting. We went to the drive-in theater to go see it. I was just so wide-eyed. What's your memory of sort of seeing Star Wars for the first time? Do you recall that? You're a little younger than me, so you were probably like 4 or something like that.
Right. I was in 77 when the first one came out. So I don't remember when I first saw that. But I do remember clearly seeing Empire Strikes Back in the theater. On its original release, I vividly remember that. So I don't remember when I first got introduced to that world, but I've still got my land speeder and my Darth Vader head collector's carrying case and all my figures. So I'm now I can pull all that stuff out and spread it all over my desk as work-related research.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. I had a land speeder, but we had a big sandbox in the backyard. I will tell you, land speeder does not actually hold up to actual sand. It's not really good for it at all.
Mine, the middle of those little, you know, the little rocket things on the back, the one in the middle broke off on mine when I hadn't had it for very long. So that's the land speeder that I grew up with, was just having 2 of those.
Right.
So it still feels weird to me when I see the way it's supposed to look.
They need to go back to Tatooine in the book, and maybe you can have, they get a land speeder that's got that broken.
It's broken.
It's just,
that's
right.
A good idea. Well, we will go back to Tatooine.
Excellent.
I can guarantee that.
Excellent. So let's talk about the book for a little bit. So for people who maybe don't know, when is the book set relative to the movies, and who should we expect to see sort of the main focus of the story on, at least at the beginning?
Well, it's set a matter of days after the end of the original Star Wars, after Episode 4,
right.
A New Hope. So just right after the Death Star was blown up. And in terms of the cast, I mean, it's the exact same cast as that film. So it's a very much a team book that focuses on, you know, the characters that made us all fall in love with Star Wars. It's Luke and Leia and Han and the droids and Chewie. And Darth Vader is the main bad guy. So it's all those characters on basically just another movie, as if there was a episode 4.5 that started a week after the Death Star blew up. That's what we're trying to do.
That's awesome. And I think that's what, a lot of people love those characters so much. And obviously you do too. And so I know they're going to be incredibly excited to see that. Now, even though at the time that, at that point in the sort of Star Wars universe, we hadn't seen Lando or Admiral Akbar or Jar Jar. Is there a chance that we see some of those characters or like Jackson pop up?
Well, we won't be seeing Jar Jar.
Wow.
It may be a shock, but I have no Jar Jar plans.
That's just money you're leaving on the table.
Right, maybe so. Old Jar Jar pops up at some point. Clearly we're restricted in terms of everybody has seen Empire Strikes Back, right? So we know kind of where things are headed.
Right.
Of course, there are a lot of beats that happen between those two movies that happen off screen that we get to grab and lay down in the pages of the book. But also, even though we kind of know where things are headed, we can still dance between the raindrops in different ways, and so we can bring characters in,
right,
that don't appear in episode 4 or even in Empire. I think we've found a few different creative ways, even in the first arc, to bring to do some character pairings that we haven't really seen before. So I'm excited to get to a couple of those moments in a few issues.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're working, it's sort of coordinating with Lucasfilm and the whole Enterprise with this sort of new canon, because the comic book will be a part
of the Enterprise. That's a different book.
Sorry, my mistake. I get those confused a lot.
You guys really are the worst podcast ever.
I know. We try.
Lucasfilm, of course, has been very involved. This is all kind of new to them, too. They've got this brand new story group, so they're overseeing, everything, whether it's comics or novels or video games, to make sure everything lines up together with all the new stuff that they're making. Because, we're talking about a lot of movies that are in different stages of production, a lot of Star Wars stuff that we have to look forward to. So everybody's kind of been figuring that's this new relationship as it goes along, but so far it's been really smooth. I mean, everybody, awesome. I think it's everybody's pulling in the same direction. Everybody wants to do the coolest Star Wars comics anybody's ever done. I think that's I'm really happy with what we've put together. I mean, I think it's a book that can appeal to people who have been reading Star Wars comics for 30 years and people who've never read a single one of them.
Right. Absolutely. So just a couple more questions. One, do you know the plot of episode 7?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Even if I did, I couldn't tell you, though. Right.
Well, I mean, we could
turn
off the mic. The
first issue came out. I don't want to get fired before issue 2.
That's probably smart. You're a wise man. And one last question. Which member of the Star Wars universe do you think would fit in most comfortably in the world of Southern Bastards?
Wow, probably Han Solo. I could see Han Solo.
Excellent.
Be hanging out in some cantina in the backwoods of Alabama, right? with a Bigfoot.
Yeah, see Chewie coming out of the woods, maybe sneaking in the back of a fried chicken joint or something.
They've got some souped up car they're flying around in, as bootleggers.
Perfect. Well, Jason, thanks again. We really appreciate your time, and we're super excited about Star Wars. I will tell you that we've made Star Wars our book of the upcoming year, meaning every month we're going to all the guys are going to read and talk about the latest issue on our podcast. We usually sort of review different books, but this year this will be our first full year coming up doing a podcast.
Okay.
So we're deep into it, but Star Wars is our book of this year, and so we're really excited to be reading it every month and join you on these adventures.
Thanks. I hope you like it.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.